Welcome to the United Uncovered podcast. It's a new format, new features, but the same voices. I'm Mark Sullivan from MUTV, and I'm joined by Ben Hibbs, Adam Marshall, and Mark Froggatt from the club website. Coming up on today's show, journalists Ian Lederman, Mark Ogden, and Paul Hetherington join the United Uncovered podcast to predict the top four. We discuss United's chances of retaining the title under David Moyes. We hear from our fan reporter, Paul Davies, who captured all the best moments at Swansea. And finally, David Stowell and Paddy Crowan chat about United's under-21s. So the Barclays Premier League is back. How happy are you, Mark, that it's back with us? The football has resumed.
It's great that the football's back. It's great that competitive football is back, because the pre-season games are always good to watch, but at the end of the day, they played at a lower pace and against weaker opposition, so it was great in that respect. And it was great to see us start off with a good win, a game that was very tough on paper, and it's been tough down the year, so I don't think anyone expected 4-1, and we've got to be happy with it.
Just to show you can't read too much into pre-season form, Adam, because we did have our critics of some of the results, yet we go to one of the toughest places to go in the Premier League and come away 4-1 winners.
I think everybody was waiting for us to slip up, weren't they? I mean, even the odds suggested that United drifted, I think, on the day. A lot of people thought, you know, Swansea would beat us. I think Chelsea started one pre-season losing all their games and then ended up being champions under Mourinho, won virtually every match, so I think it doesn't matter too much, does it, the pre-season. A lot of people tried to put some stock into it this year because it was David Moyes in charge and it was a chance to sort of perhaps suggest that things weren't as they were, but obviously we put that to bed straight away. It was a great performance and good to get the 3 points on board.
And a great start for our two strikers who started that game, Ben, Welbeck and Van Persie. Van Persie carrying on where he left off last season.
Yeah, I mean, they've got 6 goals between them now in the first 2 games of the season. I was particularly pleased for Danny Welbeck because I think, you know, we all know what Robin Van Persie can do, and you know, he just proved that he's that sort of level of class. But Welbeck, he's, you know, he took a lot of stick for only scoring 2 goals last season, 1 in the league. So to already have doubled his tally in the league this time is, you know, is great for him. But I think he's going to have a really big season for us. I think he's got all the qualities that you need to be a really top player. Great touch, great technique. And I think if he just adds the goals into his game, he doesn't need to be 25 goals a season. But I think if he's sort of reaching 15 or even 20, then I think he's going to have a huge impact for us.
Shows there's real competition, doesn't there, up front with Welbeck, Van Persie, Rooney, Chicharito to come back as well. It's going to be a fight to see who starts.
Yeah, it will be, to be honest, it is already, because I don't know who's going to start against Chelsea, and the way it seems to be shaping up with David Moyes, I think he is going to favour one striker, so it's going to be tough who plays behind him on the wings, but Danny's got every chance, and I think as Ben says, I mean, personally, in our office, we've championed Danny all season, because if you watch his play around the game and on the ball, he's outstanding. It's just his finishing that's let him down at times. But if that comes into his game, as it looks to be doing now, he could be a force to be reckoned with.
Certainly could. Chelsea and City got to good starts as well, didn't they? Both had, on paper, easier home games than we had away at Swansea, of course, but the opposition was there. They had to beat them, and they did impressively.
I mean, Chelsea had a, you know, don't want to take anything away, but playing Hull City at home, Hull then just come up, they sort of stuttered towards the end. They've got a lot of new faces who probably haven't gelled yet. So I know they went 2-0 up quickly and won that game comfortably. I think the game against Villa was a bit sneaky, and Mourinho, typical of him, they snuck in a game, you know, rather than wait and be behind everybody else because of the Super Cup. They've got one in early, got a game, another home game on board, and got ahead of United. So coming into the game on Monday, you can see it's already United a little bit under pressure, because Chelsea could go 6 points clear if they won. So you can see that why they've done that, and yet it almost backfired, because they nearly slipped up against Villa, who look a lot stronger this year than they did last year. Regarding City, I think Newcastle shot themselves in the foot. They're probably already out of the game, but when Taylor committed that daft foul, there's no way back for them, and all the Kabayi stuff on the eve of the game didn't help either, so they weren't in a very positive frame of mind, and they could end up struggling this year. So I think we'll judge them when they play teams towards the top, and obviously starting on Monday when Chelsea come here.
What did you think of the new look City, Ben?
Well, I mean, yeah, they've ploughed a lot of money into the club again, and you would think that I think sometimes when you get a team that's won the league, I think it's quite hard to retain it. It's much harder to retain it than it is to win it for that first time. And I think that they'll definitely be spurred on by the experience last season, and I think they'll have probably learned quite a lot from it as well. So to bring in new players as well, I think that just makes them an even stronger threat. And I think, like a lot of people are saying, it's going to be really, really tight between those three clubs at the top. I don't see anyone else breaking into that trio, to be honest.
Well, we'll discuss exactly how we think the championship might be won and lost in just a minute. Before that, let's hear from the Daily Mail's Ian Ladim and the Telegraph's Mark Ogden and the Daily Star's Paul Hetherington as they predict the top four in the Premier League.
Predictions for the season, I think that Chelsea will probably win the league under Mourinho. I think they're stronger this year. As for the top four, I think Chelsea will win it. I think unless United spend and get somebody in before the window closes, City will finish second, United third, and Liverpool fourth.
Ian?
I won't deviate too far from that. I would say that Chelsea will win the league, although they probably need to buy a high-class centre-forward. Obviously, we know which one they're trying to buy, but I think they need to buy one. But I think they'll probably win the league if they can get someone in. I think City, on the back of what they've spent, we'll finish second, United third, Arsenal fourth. What was the last bit of the question?
I think you've done it.
Good.
Paul?
Well, at the risk of sounding like there's an echo in here, I wouldn't disagree with Mark or Ian. I do fancy Chelsea to win it. I do think City, at the moment, look likely to finish second, United third, and fourth, I would go for Arsenal. I think if Spurs do sell Bale, then they might as well run up the white flag and surrender. And it's looking likely that now that he's going to go. So I fancy Arsenal for the fourth spot.
It's a new era for Chelsea and City as well. So what manager battle, if you like, are you looking forward to most this year?
I think Mourinho v whoever will be fascinating. Because we will have the mind games. We will have Jose's attempt at subtlety when he's really winding people up a bit. Clearly, there's going to be huge interest in how David handles the United job after succeeding Fergie. So I think Mourinho v Moyes is going to be interesting, and we'll get an early taste of that as well.
Ian?
Yeah, Mourinho, much as he has a decent relationship with David Moyes, will certainly be testing him out, just like a fast bowler tests out a new batsman. I think, you know, he'll be looking for signs of weakness early on. I mean, Mourinho's first press conference back at Chelsea, he spent 5 minutes of it talking about Wayne Rooney, which I thought was wasn't remarkable because it was Mourinho, but it was interesting, and I think that set a tone. And he hasn't really stopped talking about Wayne Rooney since, has he? So I think Mourinho will see what David Moyes is made of from that point of view. But I think David himself will always see the games against Liverpool as a big one for him, simply because his desperate desire to finish above Liverpool every time he, you know, managed an Everton team through a season was so obvious, and he makes no attempt to hide from that. And now he's manager of Liverpool's other great rivals. So even though Liverpool aren't likely to be challenging Manchester United for league titles anytime soon, I think David will still see his trips to Merseyside as ones to look out for.
Yeah, I think we're going to miss some big personalities out this year because Fergie's gone. Rafa's gone, Mancini's gone, and they were all kind of combustible characters who gave us a lot of bust-up material. I think the lads are right. I think Moyes versus Mourinho is the big one because Rafa and Fergie got on quite well until Rafa got the Liverpool job and they became in direct contact. So I think the game is fairly early in the season. I think Chelsea against United have had the Rooney situation as well. So I think there will be an obvious clash between those two. And I remember in Sydney, David Moyes told us that he was looking forward to the mind games. He said, "I'm from Glasgow, so bring it on." So I think he's ready for it.
Well, fascinating stuff, because all three predict Chelsea will win the league and City will be the runners-up, which means a third-place finish for David Moyes and Manchester United. A bit of mixed reaction who might come fourth, whether it be Spurs, Arsenal or Liverpool. I mean, it's pretty clear what the journalists think there. What about here in-house, our Manchester United journalists? Mark, what do you think?
Well, we're obviously all biased, but we like to retain some kind of level-headedness. I think it's naive to even make a prediction. I don't think you can separate United, City or Chelsea at this stage. It's virtually impossible to do so. I mean, naturally, you would argue that we're favourites because we're champions, but then you look at Mourinho coming in and Pellegrini and the money that's been spent, it's kind of levelled out a little bit. So I just don't think you can call it. I mean, ask me in February, I'll give you a more informed opinion then, I think.
I think you get, like Mark says, you know, we're kind of biased, so we're bound to say that we think that we're going to win it. But I think equally, on the other hand, I think when you get journalists, they're looking for this story.
Yeah.
And with David Moyes coming in, I think the bigger story wouldn't be that he comes in and it's a smooth transition and he wins a league. The bigger story would be that he finishes third and he's under pressure and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's the story they want to see happen. But I don't know, I just think I've been really impressed with the way that you know, we've kicked off the season. I think our preparation, the way that we're looking really fit, and you know, we talked about pre-season matches and results not really mattering that much. It was just a case of getting that fitness, sharpness right. You know, I feel positive. I think if we can bring in a couple of players, you know, towards the end of this transfer window, I think then our chances look very, very good indeed.
I think it's quite funny, as Ben says there, it's a kind of press narrative, and it was amusing to see after the Charity Shield, I think one of the interviewers said to Ryan Giggs, your third favourites this year, what do you think of that? And he was taken aback, you know, which is kind of ridiculous to say. And I think, as Adam said a minute ago, people expected us to lose at Swansea, and when we win so comfortably, they're like, oh, you know, United are actually a good team, which is outrageous because we're champions. So I think it's a little bit naive, and I think in time, you know, people will come around to the idea that it's not
naive. Froggatt slams UK press.
Is it beneficial in any way, Adam, to be underdogs? Not underdogs in the full sense of the word, but of the three of us, we are the third favourites, so can that work in our favour? Less pressure, maybe?
Like Mark says, it's narrative, isn't it? I think every year in the Racing Post, they do a preview, and United are never favourites to win it in their eyes. They're always predicting someone else because they're better value. I think people grow tired of United winning it, and they want to see a change. It's not just the newspaper guys. I think virtually every preview to the season I've heard has got United in third. I think Richard Keys said we'd finish fourth on TalkSport, and the end of the era was nigh, and it'd be like Liverpool are now for United. So I think everyone, even if Sir Alex was still here, I'm not convinced we would be favourites. I still think people would expect City and Chelsea in particular, because Mourinho is adored by the media, and he's got a pretty impressive record as well at Chelsea, let's not forget. So I think they're always going to be hard, and it was going to be hard whatever happened here. But like Ben says, it could all change. A few more sign-ins for either any of the teams and things might change.
I spoke to Nemanja Vidic in the week for the head of the Chelsea game, and one of the things he said, I asked him if it felt any different going into the season, and he just said, well, that's not the way that they're looking at it, because the way they look at it is they've still got the same expectations and the same demands to be successful at Manchester United, because that's always the case. And you've always got people that are writing United off, whether Sir Alex was here or whether it's David Moyes. So I think that's something they've always had to kind of live with, and they're always living up to those expectations. And if anything, he said that they're enjoying the extra responsibility of this being a new chapter and going out and sort of making that the next step in United's history. So, you know, I think that's a positive sign that they've all taken that on board.
Moving on then, it's time to hear from our fan reporter, Paul Davies. We sent Paul to Swansea with a voice recorder. Let's hear what he got.
So it's Saturday morning. I'm just leaving Manchester, heading to South Wales. Got a 4-hour drive ahead of me, but it's the first day of the season. And it's a mixture of excitement and nerves, and also a step into the unknown. For the first time in 26 years, Manchester United fans travel to a game not really knowing what to expect of the new era. Pre-season's gone okay, players are looking fit, and they showed in the Community Shield last week that they were sharp. But when people describe that as the curtain raiser to the season, I think they are maybe misinterpreting it. To me, that's like the warm-up act. Today's the curtain raiser. This is where the season really starts, and United have got a very tough game ahead at Swansea City, and we're just hoping that Moyes boys can do the business. Arrived at Swansea, I'm in view of the ground, and it's absolutely throwing it down with rain. Normally you associate the opening day of the season with glorious sunshine. Not quite today. It's absolutely throwing it down. And I think there's going to be a lot of wet people in that away end today. So hopefully the team will give us something to warm us up a little bit. Okay, what do you think about today's game? Are you looking forward to it? How do you think it will go?
I think Swansea will win.
Do you? What makes you think Swansea will win?
Because Man U haven't been playing as good as last season.
Yeah.
And Swansea have been playing very good.
Do you think having the two matches, competitive games in the Europa League qualifiers will help Swansea?
Yeah.
Who's been the best player so far this season?
Wilfred Bony.
Has he? Do you think he's going to be a problem today for Manchester United?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Right, well, I'll go over to you, Grandad. What's your name?
Delmi.
Jeremy. Jeremy?
Delmi.
Delmi.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry about that. So, Delmi, what do you think of today's game, given that you like Manchester United as well as Swansea?
Well, I'm supporting Swansea today because it's local.
Yeah.
And I support the Man United when they're in the... In other games.
Yeah. Okay, so in that case, what do you think of Manchester United's pre-season?
They've been playing well, yeah, but they haven't been playing well now lately.
Yeah.
But I think Swansea are playing better at this moment.
Time's up. And that's it. The champions off to the perfect start. And that's a real statement of intent to the rest of the Barclays Premier League. It might be a new season, but some things simply don't change, and that is the brilliance of Robin van Persie, who scored two very special goals indeed, and credit too to his strike partner Danny Welbeck, who's now scored as many goals this season as he did in the whole of last season with two. The second one, an absolute beauty.
So I've just got back into my car. 4-1 win for United, good performance. Everyone said it was going to be a really difficult game for United. Lots of people tipping us to lose, saying that we didn't do too well in pre-season and that the future under David Moyes was going to be more difficult than we used to under Sir Alex. But I think the team have answered emphatically today. Brilliant performance, two goals for Welbeck, two goals for Van Persie. And a great start to the season. Got a 4-hour journey back to Manchester now, but it's always easier once the team have won.
Well, thanks to Paul for that. He had a great day out in Swansea, as did the Manchester United fans, who were in great voice, fully behind the team and the new manager, David Moyes. And they had a lot to celebrate, Ben.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And I think that was great, that all the fans that go to the away game, who I think are a really good barometer of what's going on at the club and, you know, and how the fans are thinking. So it's great that they're sort of really getting behind the new manager, and they were singing his name all throughout that game. I was a little bit surprised there with Paul, because I've been to matches with him and he's far more pessimistic than that when he's not on, when his voice isn't being recorded. So you definitely got a sort of positive vibe from him there.
Great to see so many of the fans behind the new boss. The partying boss, Sir Alex, did say, didn't he, on his final address, just support the new man, give him all your support like you've given me over the years and he'll be good.
I was really proud of them, to be honest, the way they responded to David Moyes and to Wayne Rooney when he came on, because I think everybody was waiting for that reaction, you know, how they react to the new manager. A lot of the press talk is it's the end of an era and, you know, was he the man that some fans wanted? Did they want somebody else? And they backed him to the hilt, which is brilliant, and hopefully that'll be the same Monday. So Wayne, when he came on, I think, again, the press were just waiting for a negative reaction. They couldn't wait to see what that was going to be, and they got behind him as well. I mean, it's what Man United fans should be doing. It's what all fans should be doing, supporting the team and supporting the players, whatever happens. And I think that will continue on Monday, and I hope so, because I'm looking forward to it.
Our support, particularly the away support, will be pivotal all season, won't it, Mark? We've got a fantastic following.
I think the manager's already said it after the game against Wigan. We took 50,000 or thereabouts to Wembley, which was a record for a club game, I think, which is amazing considering... It's a glorified curtain raiser, you know. It's just a friendly, basically, and not many other clubs would do that. And David Moyes said afterwards, he knows that the fans have got the bit between the teeth. They know there's a challenge on this season, and he thinks they're really up for it. And to be honest, I think we all are. It's, as Ben says, we kind of, as a club, we've got our backs to the wall a little bit, and I think we're all right up for the challenge.
Definitely going to come out fighting, right. We will have more fan reports over the course of the season. OK, from the first team now to the under-21s. Firstly, the under-21s have a new home. They will play their games at the Salford City Stadium, well, most of them anyway. And it's a very nice venue, Adam.
It is. We played Tottenham there, didn't we, last year? And it was pretty impressive then, even though the lights went out for a little bit. It's a really nice stadium, quite easy to get to if the traffic was any better on the M60, but it's right near to the Trafford Centre. I think your cameras were showing you can see Old Trafford from the top of the stand. So it's got that local feel about it. I think it's good to have a nice home.
Didn't you say that Sully nipped off to the Trafford Centre at half-time just to do a bit of shopping?
It wouldn't surprise me. Get a haircut or something.
While it's there.
But no, it's nice to have that. I mean, Altrincham does get a bit cold at times, I must admit, and the pitch sometimes suffered, obviously, with the games on it and the bad weather. So I think we need that nice new stadium to look forward to playing in and just hope we can get fans to turn up to watch us.
As for the game against Liverpool, obviously you and I were there, you reporting it for the website, me working on the live game for MUTV. We'd just beaten Liverpool in the Lancashire Senior Cup and had a really impressive pre-season, yet the match didn't go anywhere like our preparations would have promised.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing, so we did have a good pre-season. You know, we won the trophy against City and we had a great sort of build-up in terms of the under-19s. I don't think got beaten all over the summer either. It's one of those things when Liverpool had a decent side out. Like, you could argue we did as well. We had some senior players, but they had a couple like Bruini and Kelly, who've got quite a bit of first-team experience. I think Bruini probably cost about £10 million or something like that. They gave us a hard game and, as we all saw, there were individual errors that we're not used to, certainly at that level. The players have been superb over the last couple of seasons, and I don't know what went wrong on the night, but whether it was a bit of stage fright in the new stadium, that people were making errors that they never normally make. So hopefully we can put that right. We've got another game coming up, and we've got, you know, the games coming thick and fast at that level, but always disappointing to lose against Liverpool.
OK, before we talk about some of the players in that group, let's hear from Dave Stahl and Paddy Crowand, our under-21 experts.
Well, Warren Joyce's side kicked off the defence of the Barclays Under-21 Premier League title against Liverpool tonight here at Salford City Stadium, where the Reds will be playing most of their home matches this season. Sadly, the game, though, didn't quite go United's way, despite a great start, Lionel Cole scoring early on and Jesse Lingard scoring before the break as well. But Liverpool, in the meantime, had scored three times and got another one in the second half to win by 4-2. Of course, the Under-21s won the title in dramatic fashion last season against Tottenham in the final at Old Trafford. Just like the first team, the Reds now have to defend their crown. You can watch all the matches live on MUTV, of course. You can visit manunited.com/MUTV for more detailed information on our coverage of the under-21s and indeed the under-18s as well. And Paddy Crowan's alongside me in the commentary box tonight as United lost to Liverpool.
Well, when you start off the season, you think you've ironed out all your mistakes before the first game. United hadn't, and that's what cost them dearly tonight. Mistakes, cost them dearly. Played some great football, but their defending left a lot to be desired.
Always a shame to lose a game, but particularly against Liverpool, of course, as well.
Obviously, but all credit to Liverpool, because they played really well as well, but they got a great deal of help from United to win the match.
And what do you think about this season in general? United won three trophies last season, of course. What are the expectations and what are the hopes, really, for this campaign?
Well, the expectations will be much the same in actual fact. The expectations at United at any level is always very, very high. We have a new manager coming in as well. The players will want to do a lot better because they've got to prove themselves to the new manager.
And I suppose it's a great chance for some of the under-18s to step up to the under-21s and likewise maybe up to the first team from Warren's
side.
Well,
what happens a lot of times as well with United particularly is you get a lot of players go out on loan. So that's going to happen. So you're going to get the younger generation coming up. Can they take their chance? Because that's the chance they're going to get. Can they take it? That's the important thing.
Thanks, Paddy. Good to see you as always.
Well, David Moyes and his coaches were all there at the Salford City Stadium to watch that game. Pre-season, Mark, he's given youngsters like Jesse, Adnan and Michael Keane a chance to impress. Will you see more of the same throughout the season, do you feel?
I certainly hope so. I think it's part of the club. I think the manager's already acknowledged that, and he's said part of his aim is to get the younger players into the first team. Sraux is always a big advocate of that, and hopefully that'll be the same. Jesse did really well. I mean, I was impressed last summer with Jesse, and he didn't seem to kick on, but the kind of main reason was that he was quite small physically and he seems to have developed a lot now. So hopefully he'll jump in. And Adnan, I think a lot of people are excited about. He's only 18, obviously, so he's got time on his hands. But he's really impressive. So, I mean, I hope to see them. The Carling Cup games are usually good for them and some of those. So let's hope for the best for them.
It is a great thing about this club, Ben, isn't it, that youngsters do get their chance. If you're good enough, you're old enough. And certainly the ones we've mentioned, and there's some other talented players in that group too.
Yeah, I mean, I think Adam's probably the best man here to talk about it, but it seems as if at that level we're sort of going through a little bit of a transitional stage in terms of trying to find the right platform to bring those players on and get them ready for the first team. But it's been very pleasing to see some of those players step up in pre-season and also when they've been called into the first team, that system is still working, and you know that we are still bringing players through. When you look at players like Jesse Lingard and Adnan, you know, I think that shows that we've got some really promising talent still coming through. So, yeah, it is a huge part of what this club is about, and I'm pretty sure that David Moyes will want to continue that and to use that as a resource as well, because there's some great players that come through.
I think it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, like Ben says, these players have played at under-21s or reserves now, that kind of level for a couple of years, some of them even more so, people like Petrucci. And that they want to get first team football, but we want them to go to an environment that's similar to United if they're going to come into the first team. Jesse Lingard went to Leicester last year, didn't really get much of a look in. I think the fans got a little bit on his back a couple of games in because he came from United, he's supposed to be a superstar, and he plays in a position that probably Leicester don't really have, a position just behind the strikers. We know he likes playing that number 10 role, and they didn't really play the football where he would shine. You've seen for United, like Mark says, last year as well, where he's great when he plays with senior players, you know, all his little tricks and the way he passes the ball so quickly and effectively, and he's got quick feet, he's got great positional sense, and we all know he's a really good player. And yet, if you just look at the cold hard fact that he went to a Championship team and didn't shine there, you could say, well, what chances are he going to have at United? But there's some really informed people who say that Jesse is the best of all United youngsters. And we know that he's got a really good chance here. The same with Larnell, he's a similar sort of player, of course. And Adnan's another one. He's a fabulous talent, and as exciting a performance as he gave the other night, where would we loan Adnan to? If we loaned him to a Championship team, is he going to get the chance to run at people? Will he be kicked to the ground like he was a bit on Monday against Liverpool, where he just kept getting fouled because he kept gliding past players and they were just bringing him down? So I think it's really hard. I think United have got this problem, that, and all clubs have got the problem, that the under-21s is so disconnected from the first team that you need something to bridge that gap without the reserves being there, and it's difficult without throwing the youngsters in at the deep end to see how we're going to change that, really.
I think the huge positive though is that a lot of them have got outstanding technical ability, which is exactly what you want. It's better to have that at that age than be a physical presence and not have, you know, a great deal of ability. So if we can throw them in, and naturally with age they will fill out, I think that will work out in time. I think we saw Nick Powell a few times last season. He only played 6 or 7 games, but he looked really composed and he impressed when he was given the chance. So if we can keep bringing them in and keep bleeding them in, then I think they should do well.
I think part of the problem as well with players at that age is that there's no one sort of rule for dealing with all those young players. It's not like you can say, right, you can loan them out to a Championship club, or we can send them out to the continent and it works, because I think you've got different people who've got different qualities and you need to develop different aspects of the game. So where if you've got a sort of a more lightweight player who's a technical player, sending them to the Championship, you know, sometimes that might work. Like with Tom Cleverley, he was a small guy, but you know, he really excelled in the teams he played with, Watford and Leicester, people like that. So I don't think there's one solution. So I think that is part of the problem, that you can't find one way of it working. But I think we just got to keep trying to give these players opportunities and, you know, send them out on loan, see if it works. If not, bring them back in-house and let them develop that way.
Absolutely, well said. And while we're talking about that group, I just wanted to wish Scott Wootton all the best with his move. He might have gone to Leeds, but we'll forgive him that, because he's a top lad, a good footballer, and good luck to him. But that's all we've got time for. Many thanks to my guests, Ben Hibbs, Adam Marshall, and to Mark Froger. Thanks to you guys at home for listening as well. We will see you again very soon. Bye for now.